Yeah, to answer your question, like the motivating yourself on the road is easy when you're on tour with someone like Pallassi or you know, Crooked Colors or something, because you kind of feed off each other. If one man's a bit down, and someone will be up. But I won't lie in saying the last, you know, 3 months, it's been a roller coaster.
Today on the podcast, we have a very special friend of mine, Tom Derricks. I don't know if you know about Tom, but what can't this man fucking do? He's ex-AFL star, he's the ambassador and male model of David Jones, and he's the ambassador of Are You Okay? He is legitimately also one of the most humble humans. He's in a duo band called KX, which is actually the band that I manage, and now is a solo artist, Tom Derricks. The guy is like gifted, like so gifted in terms of talent, and not to mention his genes are just fucking amazing. For all the girls out there, you all know about Tom Derricks. Oh my God, here with Tom, my like Hello. Absolute everything. I love
hey,
you.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm really good. I'm just sort of second day out of lockdown. So yeah, I mean it's been a long 108 days or something, so but it's also felt like it's gone pretty quick. So like, I mean, lockdown, we popped out of lockdown on the Monday, so nothing's really changed yet, but I'm definitely
I you feel a bit more love free. Lockdown too.
Yeah. I am a lockdown person. I was like, really, does it have to finish? But I do feel like driving around Monday morning on my way to work and seeing all the barbers and drunk people walking around the streets because they'd been out since midnight that night. It was nice to see. Like you mentioned, I am a bit of a homebody, so my life hasn't really changed. But yeah, it's good down here. It's just like been crazy average weather. So we popped out and it just started raining. So that's classic Sydney.
It's shit up here at the moment too, so don't worry, it's not just you.
I'm good. It's good to see you. I haven't spoken to you for a while.
I know. It's been a while. It's been a while. Actually, it'd be cool if we could, maybe not that long ago.
It'd be cooler if we could hang out in person and do this because it'd maybe have a beer. But we can do that.
Well, I will be down there very soon. I'm coming down in like 6 weeks, so we will be having a beer. I'll be in Sydney for a good few days before heading to Melbourne. So we'll be doing this for sure.
100%. 100%. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
How's it been going for you out there?
It's been going good. I mean, it feels like summer up here. So no, you can't really complain. I live in paradise. Like you've seen it. You've come up here and seen my house.
Shouldn't have left.
Yeah, I know. You should have actually just stayed here, because the minute that you left, I think that's when you went into lockdown.
Actually, I was in WA and we had a couple of cases, and then I booked booked the flight back to Perth for family reasons, and then I stupidly flew back to Sydney. But I just assumed it was going to be one of those snap lockdowns for a week and then we'd pop out. But
And the beauty is true that you've been wrong. The beauty is true that you've been able to work, I guess, like because you've been essential.
Yeah, for sure, so for sure. No, it's been
working.
I've been working. I've been like, I probably wouldn't have finished this music project if I wasn't on my own as well. I'd just be in WA fishing and surfing and hanging out with my family. So the silver lining is that exactly. Like I've finished a lot of music and I've still been able to work. Everything's kind of slowed down, which is how I like it.
So let's do a little icebreaker. I mean, because I know you so well, let's do all. I want to know your last text, your last photo or video, and your last song that you played on Spotify.
Okay. Text. Matt Baker.
Oh, yeah.
And Amal. Thoughts on Lang Hu hand-pulled beef noodles in Kensington tonight. And then Matt said, very keen for some Asian delicacies. And I go, I'm about to do a podcast. I'm out of action. And then that does sound so good though. My last photo is, oh my God.
What is that? Show me.
Oh, I don't know. It's this guy off Instagram. His name's Francis. He's this like, he's a train lover.
He's a what lover?
He loves trains. I don't know if you've seen him, but he's my favorite guy in the world. But my second one is my brother and his new fiance.
Cute.
Telenia. Cute. So they got engaged the other day. So.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Congratulations to Tom's brother.
Yeah, so he did that in Lake Como in Italy. Because they had to get out of WA. So, and then what was that on? Spotify?
Some on Spotify.
Hang on. Oh, Sam Fender off his new record, Getting Started. It's such a tune. It's so good. Okay. The whole record's unreal. But
I need to listen to this whole record. I think I've only listened to like one or two songs off it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Talk to me. So your new music project that you're doing, Tom Derrick solo, talk to me. Where are you sitting at with that? Like, when's the first song dropping? Obviously, I've heard the EP. I've seen the link of Secret Tracks, so I know how good it is and I know what to expect. But I guess for other people, what is it?
Yeah, well, it started as a uni project. I'm studying composition at uni, and it would have been kind of easy for me to use KX as my project and all my songs that I had to write and film stuff that I had to do. But I thought I'd challenge myself and make something completely different, which was like going back to my roots of like indie rock and folk rock. So I started this project, and then I wrote about 6 or 7 songs and just felt like unbelievable satisfaction out of it. So it became a thing, and I like sent it to people like yourself and family. And that was like the sole reason of doing it, was to just crank it in my own car and let my friends and family crank it in their cars. So, but then people were like, this is actually pretty good. And I was like, maybe I should release it. So I'm self-releasing my first single this Friday. So
whenever this
podcast comes out, it'll be out. Yeah. So the 15th. So yeah, it's kind of weird.
How exciting. Like, which song are you going with as the first one?
The song's called Horror Show.
Oh yeah, sick.
And it's sort of about the leadership or like lack of leadership in the last sort of 3 months. But also it's about like all the love stories that have maybe come out of this the last 3 or 4 months. So it's a cool little song. So I'm super pumped, and I hope you guys all like it.
Oh, I mean, anything that Tom Derrick does, I think everyone loves.
Don't know about that.
Fan base, let's be real. AFL star gone to the Deva Jones model to now Tom Derrick's musician.
Well, it's funny that like, so someone, the group that are helping me release it, they wrote me a bio for my Spotify and Apple Music. And they sent it to me to edit, and it was like AFL superstar turn. And I was like, no, let's cut that. I was not a superstar. I played like 14 or 15 games across about 8 years. So we can keep the superstar in if you really think it's going to help, but I don't think it's true. But so I edited that out, and I liked the parts of it where it's about, you know, just me and what I'm about now. Like, I'm a carpenter, I'm a family man, and that's what the project is built off, I think. So I kind of chopped out all those lies, I guess.
They're not really lies, but it's not who you are, so I totally get it.
Yeah, you're for sure.
The most humble, grounded, like soulful man I've ever met.
Thank you. Thank you. You should have written my bio.
You should have asked me, I would have done it.
Yeah, it would have been too biased. It would have been too one-sided.
Yeah, no, but, true.
So that's, yeah, I'm really excited. It's been a pretty busy week with, like, I forgot about all the press stuff that comes with a single release. So, which is a good thing too. But usually I've got Pilasi by my side, sort of helping me and helping each other. So it's been a learning experience for me. I've tried to do most of it myself in terms of the release and putting like a website together and content and stuff. So it's been fun, challenging but fun, and yeah, I'm pretty nervous too. I haven't thought about it because it was never meant to see the light of day, this project, but it's going to, and it's going to become a bit of a thing now. So I'm putting together a band, and we'll hopefully start doing shows this year. So
I can't wait. I'm going to help wherever I can, obviously.
That'd be good.
I love this little project that you've got going on. And for anyone that's listening, Pilasi's the other person in KX, which is the band I manage, and I love the dance duo KX, my two little Perth boys. But Tom's on a new venture, which I'm so excited.
Yeah,
it's still going.
It's still going. We had the 5K rule, so we couldn't really see each other. And I was not gonna allocate him as my single buddy. So we stopped kind of forcing it a bit, and then this project sprung to life, and he's working on another project called Sumo Gandhi, which is actually really good too. It's really cool. It's I don't even know how to describe it. It's like emo hip hop rock or something. It's kind of,
you know,
Pilasi in a nutshell.
Pilasi to a T.
The genre should be called Pilasi. It's really cool. It's really cool. So,
oh, that's so good.
Chuck that in the show notes too to check out Sumo Gandhi
and Tom Derrick. Yeah, totally.
The byproduct of KX. So.
Yeah, I love that. I thought he was doing something sashimi. Do you remember when he was doing he did the song Sashimi with Big Jocks or whatever? What happened to Big Jocks?
He did Crocodile Sashimi as Big Jocks.
Oh, Crocodile Sashimi, yeah.
That was his little outlet, I guess, because KX was a thing. I guess KX was built off our friendship, and then it was hard to kind of express ourselves individually in a duo. So he started doing Big Jocks, which is what my brother and I nicknamed him as kids, because we're not childhood friends. They're pretty much childhood friends. His mum used to buy him these massive jocks. So he got this nickname, Big Jocks, and he took it and ran with it and started a little project, side hustle, which was really cool too. But this one's more, I think this one's a bit more serious. It's really good. He's working with a good friend of ours, Lionel Towers, in Melbourne, and they're doing a lot of TikTok directed music. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Love that. I guess let's go into your boss moment. I guess the boss moment might even need to be with KX, because you're not on the road yet. Unless there is the boss moment with Tom Derrick's that was the penny drop where you just felt like, holy fuck, this is actually a thing. Because you did say that it was a thing. I even thought it was a thing. I think that this is going to blow up a little bit more than obviously KX. Just because it's something that's kind of there's not that many, I don't know, I feel like Australians love that style of music, and there's not that much out there anymore in terms of Australian artists doing that kind of music. So I definitely see Tom Derrick's on fucking every festival. That'd be nice.
That'd be cool. That's why I got to get this show organised, because the people that are sort of helping me get it out and spreading the word are like, what is your show going to look like? So I've already got a bass player. I'm looking for.
Oh, epic.
I've got a drummer, and I want to get just a few more, one other guitarist, maybe female vocalist to do it. I want to actually write a song with it. I've never done a duet, girl or boy. So I think, apart from with Pilasi, but that doesn't count. I haven't had any boss moments as Tom Derrick's, and I'm not the type of guy that would tell anyone either. I'd play it down. But we had a couple of funny ones with Derrick, I think. We had one. It was an indirect boss payment where we flew to Japan for Corona Sunsets Festival, and we were picked up at the airport, and they thought we were cut copy. So we they showed us around Japan, and there was all the bells and whistles, and we were just like, "What's going on?" And then we finally looked on the back, on the side of this van that we were in, that said cut copy. And we're like, that makes a lot of sense now. I don't think KX would get it picked up at the airport. So that was a boss moment, we thought. We've had a few funny ones when we toured in America as well, and played a few shows in LA. But Tom Derricks, as an individual solo artist, hasn't had any boss moments yet. The bossest moment would
The boss moment could be when you actually sent the link around to everyone and we all were like, this is actually a thing. That could be the moment for now.
Yeah, I think the boss moment will just be when it comes out on Friday or on the 15th. Yeah. So I'll be super proud. And
I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
It's so exciting. And then I guess, like, have you got a moment that you found that has been, you know, either something terrible's happened and you've learned from it and it's been super beneficial, or it's just been like a full-on, this was fucked, this is like the most embarrassing moment of my life that you can recall while in music?
I mean, we've had a lot of, I think I built a lot of resilience in my football days. I think I had some shockers in my football days. One, I won't go into it, but I dropped a mark once and we essentially lost us the game. And that perspective-wise just changed my outlook on a lot of things in life, because it was hard at the time and I was getting, you know, death threats from all these Richmond fans. And then a lot of the stuff with music, with like, our gear hasn't worked sometimes and, you know, we've been stuck on stage when something's stuffed up. And it is embarrassing, but, you know, you learn resilience. And we came into it a little bit older than most as well. So we kind of laughed it off a bit, although it is embarrassing, some of the stuff that's happened. But the most embarrassing thing was probably on the footy field when I dropped that mark. And then since then, nothing's been embarrassing.
AFL fans are just so gnarly. Like, send a death threat?
Oh, it's some peanut on the internet that will never say it to your face. But,
yeah,
you know, the music industry is lovely compared to football, so there's never been anything like that. Embarrassing stuff. Yeah, but more so funny because we're doing it together. I think when you're embarrassed around Palacio and when he's embarrassed around me, it's more of a laugh, I think, so.
Yeah, for sure. You guys have the highest of energy.
But yeah, heaps of shockers.
But you guys would just laugh it off, I feel like.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that. You guys are good at that.
Yeah. And you are easily probably the most, I put you on such a pedestal, Tom. Like, honestly, I honestly don't know. Like, my cup was not as full. Like, before you, I don't know, like, what was I doing? Everyone needs a Tom Derricks in their life, because you have just been, like, I can come to you with anything and know that you will literally just have my back. You're so easy to talk to. You're that fucking humble. Like, you're so selfless. Like, there's just something about you. Like, I can't speak more highly of you.
More often. It's a bit of a
Not everyone's going to get this kind of compliments. With, like, you're very vocal about mental health. Obviously, you're Are You Okay ambassador. Like, what would be? I mean, you haven't been on the road in a while, obviously, fucking COVID. But what would you say is how? Like, have you got a tip of what you do to stay balanced when you're on the road, or? You know, if, like, what do you do for your mental health? Like, fuck, you've just spent 108 days in lockdown. Would you suggest? It's really hard to keep your routine or to keep morale, to keep excited, obviously, when you're on the road. So, yeah, if there's anything that you kind of do.
Yeah, I think, thank you. So, yeah, I am an Are You Okay ambassador, and that's probably my proudest thing that I do. And I love being vocal about it, as hard as it is sometimes, but I just see the impact it has when it comes from men like myself. And to answer your question, like the motivating yourself on the road is easy when you're on tour with someone like Palasi or Crooked Colors or something, because you kind of feed off each other. If one man's a bit down, and someone will be up. But I won't lie in saying the last 3 months, it's been a roller coaster of motivation, because at the start I was super motivated and got so much work done and wrote so much music, and then the last month I've been so lazy, but I've kind of just let that be. Just accept the fact that I'm gonna watch Squid Game for 2 days straight
and not beat myself up about it. Is it good?
It's good. It's really good. Instead of, because I'm always like, I want to read books instead of watch TV, or I want to write music instead of binge watch something. But then you can only push yourself to a limit when you're in the, I live on my own. So it's kind of, I don't think we were designed to be locked up like this. So you got to be kind to yourself. And that's one of my biggest tips is to do exactly that. Be kind to yourself. And I personally do a lot of meditation and gratitude journaling. And I swear by that stuff. And I get pretty woo woo with some of my breathing exercises and tapping stuff. I don't know if any of the listeners out there know what EFT tapping is, but it's been something I've really bought into the last month, and it's kind of given me a bit of motivation and a bit of clarity. And I do some Vedic meditation stuff as well, which gives me a lot of clarity and slows my busy
mind
down.
That's that guy that sent me on Instagram, right?
Yeah. If we're allowed to plug on here, Matt Ringrose, Bondi Meditation Center, I think. I did a course with him about 5 years ago, and it was pretty life-changing for me. I just learned to kind of pull back and slow my busy mind down, because I might sound quite slow and don't laugh, but my mind is spinning. So like, it's good to bring it back to my values and my mantras and my philosophies, and it's helped me a lot with getting through this period, and it's helped me a lot with being creative and maintaining the relationships with family who are, locked locked in WA.
Yeah, you can't go there.
Yeah, well, I'm locked out of there. So yeah, it's been bloody hard, but it's, Mum calls me all the time and she's so worried. I'm like, Mum, this is the lifestyle that I love. And I know I'm looking forward to going back on the road and touring and doing shows, but at the root of it all,
you're also a homebody.
Yeah, I'm a massive homebody, so a bit of balance would be nice. Touring and then duck home to Dunsborough in WA for a month and recoup, that would be nice. Yeah. That's what I need. I can just tell when I need a bit of fresh air in Dunsborough, and that is about now. Yeah. So, McGowan, I know you're a big fan of Bianca Bolden and her new podcast. Open the borders, mate.
I know. I feel you. I feel the same. I mean, I feel the other way around up here. Like, I feel like I'm locked in Queensland, which is fucking annoying, because I just want to get down to Sydney, see you guys, see like my second family, like of everyone. I lived down there for like 11 years, so like I see everyone down there. And then everyone's in Melbourne. Like, all my family's in Melbourne. I'm damned anywhere I go. So I feel you. It's fucked.
No, you're right. You got to think like that. You got to think that, my family in WA who are kind of trapped there, they're going through some stuff too. My brother, for instance, his girlfriend is Singaporean, and she was unable to get into WA. So he's had to essentially leave to see her, and now they're in Europe together. So yeah, I feel for people everywhere around Australia, not just people that are locked out of their homes don't, but everywhere, because there is some restrictions on everyone. So the light is at the end of the tunnel, and then we can see it. Yeah, it's good.
Mm. Yeah. And so I guess, like, behind the scenes, like, if you weren't, I think I already know what this answer will be, but if you weren't performing and if you weren't making music, if you weren't doing anything in music, like, what would you, I guess, like, what would you be doing?
Yeah, well, you probably know the answer, but because music's just a part of my life. Like, I'm a carpenter, so yeah. I don't really want to be on the tools forever, but I do love building things, and I make a bit of furniture, and there's a few chairs around the house here, but I'm not going to show you guys. But I make furniture.
Japanese chairs.
Yeah, there's a few Japanese chairs around here. I do a bit. So I'm a carpenter and joiner by trade. So I mean, if music dropped off the face of the earth tomorrow, I'd just probably go back to Dunsborough and build things. So, and I'd be content with that. Like, I still do it now. Even though there's times when I think I don't have to be doing this, but I do like an honest day's work. So I'd probably be doing some building stuff. I don't necessarily like working for people. So I'd probably go out on my own and
you'd have to do something on your own.
Yeah, start a furniture line or just do fit outs and make things for people. As long as I'm creating, I'm happy. Yeah.
Do you have a weird hobby at all?
A weird hobby?
Do you reckon furniture is? Because I feel like most people wouldn't look at you going, oh, this guy makes furniture. You also were doing something with tiles, remember?
And ceramics. Yeah, weird hobby. I've been making pottery a little bit lately with porch ceramics. Local guy Sammy Smith from Porch and Parlor, and a good friend of mine, Ryan, who's a potter.
I'm missing Sammy every day.
He's an American fella, and he's just so good to be around that I kind of got sucked into the hobby of making stuff out of clay. And I'm not saying I'm good at it, but it's quite therapeutic. Yeah, it really is. The hobbies.
Didn't something happen to him? He hurt his shoulder or something, and that's why you had to go in there and kind of help him.
He dislocated his shoulder and cracked a bone. So I started helping him make plates, and the sales probably went down when I jumped in and helped out. But you know, the morale was higher than ever. So
of course,
yeah. So no hobbies. I've been cooking a little bit. Again, not great things, but I just kind of make stuff up, and sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's really, really shit. So I need to write it down when I'm making stuff, because I'm not like a method sort of guy. I'm just a chuck it all in and see what happens type of guy. So, and that probably rings true with my music when you guys hear it. There's a lot. There's a fair bit going on. So I've had to strip it back a bit. But cooking, making stuff, and I read a lot. I've been reading a lot lately, and I've been writing a lot. So I just write down what I'm thinking and try to turn that into music sometimes. So and study, which has been full on this year. Jeez.
But it was good. It's kind of pushed you into this new project, which is going to be epic for you. So,
yeah. Exactly, babe. Exactly.
And I guess, like, do you have, like, your greatest story when you were on the road? Like, what's your best tour story? Do you have one that comes to mind? Because I feel like you've had some good times with Crooked Colors Boys.
Yeah, we've had some really good times. We've been lucky enough to go to the States a couple of times. We supported Naughty by Nature in New York, which is pretty funny. Because they all rocked up with walking sticks, and I just assumed they were just old and just old and needed them. But I, like, long story short, I tried to help one of them walk down the stairs because I thought he was like injured or unable to walk down on his own. And he kind of pushed me off, and I soon found out that the walking stick is a bit of a gangster thing. So tail between the legs, walked back and sat on my own and cried. So we've also had Drake, we were DJing at a bar in LA, and then we weren't playing enough hip hop. We were playing just disco, KX stuff, and Drake kicked us off the decks, which was pretty funny. Well, he actually bought the bar and demanded that we get off the decks. So that was like, yeah, that was kind of like a boss moment turned shocker. Like we were like DJing to this, like ASAP Rocky was there and Drake and all his gang. Everyone and anyone was there that you can name. And we were like, how good is this? This is like just when we released our first couple of singles and we were in LA. And then next thing, one of Drake's crew walk up and they're like, can you play some hip hop? We're like, yeah, we'll play whatever we've got on our USB. We'll play a couple of songs, and ran out of hip hop pretty quickly. And then it was like, can you guys play some Drake? Otherwise, you're out. And we looked at each other. We're like, looks like we're out then. So we essentially got kicked off, took our USBs with us, and then Drake got up there and plugged his phone in and put that Passion Fruit song on and that album on. So that was boss to shocker.
That.com. That to me is like, is that not weird that he wants to play his own music? Like I could never imagine, and like plugging it in on a phone. I don't know. I could never imagine someone doing that. Unless you were doing a DJ set and you're playing your own tunes. Like he's a rapper. Like, I don't know. Well, like hip-hop. I think
like when you're someone like Drake and it's like KX Drake up there with the greats. So it's like that was like we thought it was quite disrespectful that someone like him would kick someone like us off. So but yeah, the fact that he put his own music on was pretty funny. And it was a Kanye move. But you know, it was more embarrassing for him than us, I think, because now, you know, I know Drake's probably listening as well. I'm talking this shit about Drake, so.
Shout out to Drake.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fuck, that's so funny. And so with the new song that's obviously coming out this Friday, can't believe it, this Friday. So are you doing, because I know that there's a few on that EP, are you going to release like, one every like say 6 weeks until they're all released, or are you going to release like two and then the whole EP? Like, is there a bit of a plan behind?
There's a plan. I think that there's I think I'm going to go with singles for the start until something kind of pricks the ears of the people that sort of book shows and festivals. But you know, at the core of it, I'm doing it for me. So I'm going to keep releasing music. But the body of work that I've written so far will come under the umbrella of probably an album or an EP. So you'll hear them all in the next sort of 6 months, I'd say. I might release 3 or 4 singles and then the whole body of work together early next year. So, yeah, maybe an album. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fuck
why not?
Do it. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, I mean, no one's got the attention span to listen to an album, but I don't really care. That's fine. I'll listen to it.
I don't know. Maddie, you know Matt Bartlam from Golding and your producer, yeah. So Maddie sent me, he was a bit sneaky, and sent me the secret link to the new Boo Seeker album. And I listened to it maybe like 3 or 4 times. Like it's so different to other stuff that Benny's done in the past. And yeah, like I kind of miss albums.
Yeah.
Like just being able to listen to everything on repeat. I'm stoked that Flight Facilities is coming out next month. Rufus is coming out this month.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a different kettle of fish because no one's going to listen to an artist that they've never heard of. But in saying that, like my favourite acts, like, you know, like Sam Fender dropped an album on last Friday and I've just been listening to that on repeat because I love him. And I feel like the album is like a story when you listen to it back to front too. So it's like one big song.
That's exactly I was just about to say that. Fred Again obviously launched his album like maybe a month ago now, but that's a whole story. Like that whole album together is, it's a journey. And like maybe Australians aren't really listening to Fred Again, but I love Fred Again, and I obviously had a few songs saved in my Spotify, and then I've listened to the whole album. Honestly, I listen to it every day for probably a good 3 weeks. So if you love the music, it's kind of nice to have it all out there at once. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Obviously, drip feeded.
I think every artist has, you know, thousands of songs. Like I know I do. So it's like they're better off being out there than sitting on your computer. I think, you know, 100%. Don't overthink it. Just make a few singles and chuck them out first, and then there'll be a couple of diehard fans that'll listen to the rest of the album. So I like, personally, I like having a whole story and making it flow in, like songs flow into each other, and having a few really weird ones in amongst them. And I know Sam Fender kind of did like a B-side to his record, which was some of his best stuff, I think, but not singles. Just stuff that I feel like he needed to get out. And I love that. And to add to your point, I'm looking forward to Flight Facilities and Rufus, because they're the, especially Flight Facilities, like 7 years.
7 years, I know. The
perfectionist, those boys, and like I know it's going to be so special. So like you just, everything they do is like perfect and like glossy, and it's like, you know, it's going to be good. So.
For sure. How's the sun like shining on me right now? It's like this, all the clouds have just like parted.
You're glowing, babe. You're glowing.
I'm glowing. All right. Well, let's end with a lull. You obviously know the game Fuck, Marry, Kill. Do you know that game?
Oh, yeah. I've never played it like in real life, but I know it. And go on.
So your three Fuck, Marry, Kills. We've got Palasi, obviously, KX.
Yep.
We've got Phil from Crooked Colors. And we've got Jimmy from Flight Facilities.
Oh, right.
Hit me.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm going to make this easier for myself. I'm going to, because Mum might be listening too, I'm a gentleman, so I'll marry someone and I'll potentially kill someone. So I'll probably kill Palasi. He's pretty quick. If I killed Jimmy or Phil, it'd just be like, why? You know, like I wouldn't get out of it. But if I killed Palasi, I'd be able to get away with it, because I'd just show the court some of the messages that he's written me over the years. And then I would marry, toss of a coin, probably Jimmy, and I'll leave the rest up to you.
Jimmy is, I mean, how can you not marry Jimmy? He's just like, he's got so much personality. The guy is like.
So does Phil. I love
Phil. So does Palasi, though.
Jimmy, I wouldn't kill anyone, but like Jimmy's been really helpful with this project. My solo stuff, and KX, but more so my solo stuff, he's been a bit of a sounding board for me, because I know he's so thorough and he's also very honest. So he's hit me between the eyeballs with a few curveballs, and I've wanted to kill him. And I told him that, but then I get a better product. So he was the guy that I sent him this single that I was about to release this week, and he's like, it still sounds like a demo, and I probably wanted to kill him then. So I went back to the drawing board and worked on that, for pushed the release date back because of that one bit of feedback. Even though there was a lot of people around me saying this is sick, but the respect I have for someone like Jimmy, I went back to the drawing board and he's like, there's always 10%. And I really appreciated him even listening to it and giving me that feedback, because I got another 10% out of it, and then sent it to him. And then he's like, yeah, this is it. And it was like, I could have married him there. So maybe I married Jimmy as But then again, Phil got us on tour with Crooked Colors. He's been so supportive of us as well, and he's a Perth lad, so
yeah.
I'll marry them all, and no one's going to argue with me.
Okay, sounds good. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It makes it a little bit awkward when you see them next to whatever it is, probably Chris.
If I was playing Squid Games with them all, I'd kill them all and win the money, but I'm not. So,
yeah, the whole concept of that Squid Games, it's just so weird to me. But I am going to watch it. I just finished Made.
I made a start,
on Netflix.
I've heard that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. A little bit frustrating, I'm not going to lie. There was definitely a few episodes in the beginning that really frustrated me with the mum, and I felt like the girl, the main character, wasn't looking after herself. But also, like, the boyfriend was very abusive, and I also have never been in that predicament where I haven't felt support from family or been in an abusive relationship. So I can't really speak for that. But I got through it all. It's only 8 episodes. They're an hour long, 45 minutes or something. But it was really good. It was really, really good.
Right. Revealing Netflix seasons on the podcast too. So yeah. How many stars are you going to give that out of 10, Beth?
Oh, I'd probably give it a 4. Oh, actually out of 10. Oh, so I'm thinking out of 5. I'd probably give it an out of 10. I'd probably give it a 7.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. Yeah. My brother told me to watch it too, so I will.
Yeah, give it a red hot crack.
It's a girl from
all right, well,
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, yeah? Isn't it? I think. There's a little cameo probably. In there.
My girlfriend Samara's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure that's she was in our film clip.
Who, Samara?
Was she?
Or that girl? yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. She was in the ISO film clip for KX.
Yeah, she was. I'll Do What You Want.
Yeah.
She was in that. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. We reached out to
a while ago.
All of our database of contacts for a little ISO film clip for I'll Do What You Want KX style. That was actually really fun.
That was good fun. Yeah, that was.
It was. All right. Well, thanks, Tom. I can't wait for the song to come out on Friday. I'm actually pumped for you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And thanks for having me. I hope you guys enjoy the new music and the new direction, because it comes from the heart, and it's been very satisfying and rewarding, and a few boss moments coming up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Thanks
for having me, Bea.
I'm sure of it. Anytime.
Such a good podcast. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will link the artist, Instagram, and Spotify in our show notes. Please like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube to stay up to date with your favorite artists. We'll see you next week, Side Stage.